destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. We'll conclude our reading at this point. The book of Psalms, Psalm 78, verse 53. You've been listening to a serialized reading of the Bible, the New King James Version, with episodes presented each morning at 8:15 on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Your reader has been Barbara. Thank you for listening.
The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page. Difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Stevens, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the August 19th issue of the Challenger Community News, here on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Our first story, Senator Baskin launches Breaking Bread Dinner Series for formerly incarcerated community members. New York State Senator April N.M. Baskin is launching the Breaking Bread Dinner Series. It's a new initiative designed to support formerly incarcerated individuals as they transition back into the community through fellowship, meaningful conversation, and access to valuable resources. The first dinner will be held on Thursday, August 27th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 701 East Delavan Avenue in Buffalo. The evening will feature a complimentary hot buffet dinner, opening remarks from Arthur A. Duncan II, Esquire, and a keynote conversation with the Honorable Craig D. Hanna, Associate Justice of the Appellate Division, 4th Department, New York State Supreme Court. The Breaking Bread Dinner Series is centered on connection, support, and community building. Each gathering is intended to foster dialogue, strengthen relationships, and provide individuals returning home with opportunities to connect with organizations that can assist with employment, legal services, child support, case advisement, health care, education, workforce development, and other essential resources. Organizations scheduled to participate in the first event include the Buffalo Center for Employment Opportunities, Buffalo Prenatal Parental Network, Erie County Department of Health, the Erie County Reentry Opportunity Center, Legal Aid Bureau of Buffalo, Northland Workforce Training Center, and Western New York Heroes Incorporated. Additional dinners in the series will be held on September 24th, October 22nd, and November 19th. Breaking Bread is open to formerly incarcerated individuals who were released from jail or prison within the past 10 years. There is no cost to attend. Dinner will be provided. Please RSVP to Senator Baskin's office by calling 716-826-2683. Next up, a 100-year-old physician, veteran, Dr. James McDaniel, the community is set to honor a living chapter of American history. The African American Veterans Arts and Cultural Corporation and the Janetta R. Cole AmVets Post No. 24 will host an historic event celebrating the extraordinary life and legacy of one of Buffalo's most distinguished citizens. On Monday, August 17th at 11 a.m., there will be an official dedication. World War II Navy veteran Dr. James McDaniel Jr. Way in front of ECMC Hospital on Grider Street in the Maston District, permanently honoring a man whose military service, medical excellence, and community leadership has touched generations of Western New Yorkers. At 101 years of age, Dr. James McDaniel Jr. represents a living chapter of American history. During World War II, Dr. McDaniel honorably served in the United States Navy aboard the USS Sheridan in the Pacific Theater. Serving during an era of military segregation, he faithfully carried out his assigned duties while serving during general quarters as a member of the ship's anti-aircraft gun crew, helping defend his fellow sailors during combat operations. He also played the trombone to lift the spirits and morale of service members, demonstrating that leadership and service extend beyond the battlefield. Following the war, Dr. McDaniel devoted his life to medicine and became one of Buffalo's most respected obstetrician-gynecologists. Over the course of his distinguished career, he delivered thousands of babies and provided compassionate care to generations of families throughout Western New York. His commitment to community health extended through his service at Deaconess Hospital and the Geneva B. Scruggs Community Healthcare Center, where he worked tirelessly to improve access to quality health care for underserved communities. Even after retiring from medicine, Dr. McDaniel continued serving others. At the remarkable age of 99, he volunteered with Meals on Wheels, personally delivering meals to homebound residents, reflecting his lifelong belief that service to others never ends. Dr. McDaniel is also a proud member of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, where his dedication to scholarship, perseverance, leadership, and service has reflected the fraternity's enduring principles. Recognizing his extraordinary contributions, the Buffalo Common Council approved the honorary street designation as a lasting tribute to his distinguished military service, groundbreaking medical career, civic leadership, and decades of dedication to the people of Buffalo. Proclamations and official recognitions will be presented by Buffalo Common Council President Pro Tem and Maston District Council Member Zanetta Everhart, Erie County District Legislator Lawrence Dupree, other elected officials, and community leaders. Adding to the significance of the occasion, members of Dr. McDaniel's family will travel from across the country to celebrate this once-in-a-lifetime recognition of a beloved patriarch whose life has inspired countless individuals through his courage, humility, and commitment to serving others. We believe Dr. McDaniel's story reflects the very best of Buffalo and deserves to be preserved for future generations. Next, from the Challenger, Build a Buffalo to host the 20th Issues Convention. Lieutenant Gubernatorial Candidate, the Honorable Adrian Adams, will be the special guest. Build a Buffalo Incorporated will host its 20th Issues Convention Saturday, September 12th from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Frank E. Merriweather Library at 1324 Jefferson Avenue. The Honorable Adrian Adams, candidate for New York State Lieutenant Governor, will be the special guest. The focus of the conference is the Strategic Investment Plan for Jefferson Avenue. This plan is a direct correlation to Build's 2025 survey and will set forth a vision for blight reduction, job creation, economic development, and access to various resources. The Strategic Investment Plan will focus on Jefferson Avenue between Best and Main Streets and include residential neighborhoods on the south and the north sides. There will also be an on-site Shop Till You Drop Black Business Fair. Food will be available during the morning break. Individuals and organizations interested in participating are asked to RSVP to Charlie H. Fisher III at 716-650-8889 or Avery T. Bates at 716-903-0842. Build memberships are currently available. Individuals, $20. Business, faith, community-based, fraternal, sorority, $100, corporate, $1,000. Please make checks payable to Build of Buffalo Incorporated, and most credit cards are accepted. Our next article, Black Buffalo Convention 2026, it's time to come together. The Black Buffalo Convention will be held Saturday, August 29th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the King Urban Life Center, 938 Genesee Street. It's a community gathering focused on unity, collaboration, and creating solutions for the future of Buffalo's Black community. The event will feature community panels, idea-sharing sessions, and discussions centered on economic, empowerment, education, housing, culture, youth leaderships, and civic engagement. Participants will work together to form committees, develop action plans, and identify priorities that can create meaningful change. The convention will conclude with community voting to establish a shared action agenda with goals, leadership, and timelines for implementation. It's time for us to come together. There are many black organizations in Buffalo, all of which do righteous, commendable work in the community. These things are honorable and should continue. Simultaneously, these groups should unite to find a holistic approach to gaining benefits for all of Black Buffalo. The convention is a way to keep us all on the same page, albeit not on all things, but at least on how best to benefit Black Buffalo. We can fix things overnight. Next up, our back-to-school backpack giveaway. These events are coming up on Thursday, August 20th and 27th, held Saturdays from 9 to 1 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Jr. Park, the John E. Brent Gardens. The August 20th market features special guests from the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library and the Buffalo AKG Art Museum, Art Truck with Backpack Distributions, while August 27th features the Buffalo Zoo Zoomobile. On Friday, August 21st, free backpacks and back-to-school community fair, Community Action Services at 3297 Bailey Avenue. Information at 716-852-5969. Friday, August 21st, Bailey Avenue giveaway, a backpack back-to-school giveaway runs from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Shirley Avenue between Bailey and Suffolk, just outside the district edge. Saturday, August 22nd, Part 2, Nash Gardens, backpack and free haircuts and braiding. Saturday, August 22nd, a free book bag giveaway, Covenant Truth Center, Love Never Fails at 160 Kingsley, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, 716-291-7556 or 716-279-5479. Saturday, August 22nd, Voice Buffalo Back to School giveaway from 1 to 4 p.m., Dewey Street Park, the corner of Dewey Street and Kensington Avenue, together with the 5th Annual Dean's Day celebration. August 22nd, 1 to 5 p.m. at 173 High Street, the corner of Michigan, Destini's parking lot, free giveaways and food specials. You can bring the kids, have some fun. On Friday, August 28th, from noon to 3 at 271 Grant Street, Push Buffalo Back to School giveaway, school supplies, backpacks, sneakers, and more while supplies last to help students start the school year strong. On Saturday, August 29th, I Am Youth Back to School Backpack Giveaway, JFK Park at 114 Hickory from 2 to 6 p.m. For more information, call 315-750-5058. Saturday, August 29th, the Buffalo Central Terminal Drive. It's a drive-through giveaway, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Buffalo Central Terminal. Drive-through distribution, proof of City of Buffalo residency may be required. And Tuesday, September 1st, from noon to 3, Buffalo Public Schools Backpack Giveaway, the Johnny B. Wiley Sports Pavilion at 1100 Jefferson Avenue, 400 free backpacks, free food, community resources, live entertainment, and activities hosted by Buffalo Public Schools Interim Superintendent Dr. Ebony Prophet Bullock, Ferry District Board of Education member Stefan Wright, and New York State Senator April Baskin. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from the Challenger Community News on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Dr. Ebony E. Prophet Bullock takes oath of office. Dr. Ebony E. Prophet Bullock takes the oath of office at the swearing-in ceremony for Interim Superintendent of Buffalo Public Schools last Thursday before a full house of supporters in the council chambers. She previously served as the Buffalo Schools Chief Accountability and Information Officer, making reference to the African concept of Ubuntu, I am because you are, because we are. Dr. Prophet said she believes that together we can uplift and change, and so that's why I really believe in, and that's what excites me about getting on the team in this chair. Next from the Challenger, from the National Desk, Divorce in the Black Church, Why Women Often Bear the Blame. Divorced black women say churches often question their faith instead of supporting their healing. Word in black marriage remains sacred in the black church, but divorced women say compassion often gives way to suspicion. New research and personal stories suggest many churches are better prepared for weddings than for helping members survive the marriages that don't last. For nearly a decade, Kamoli Labou says she poured herself into her Baltimore area church. An author, publisher, and speaker, she completed leadership training, mentored others, and became a trusted servant without ever seeking a formal title. When her marriage began falling apart, she expected the same church that had nurtured her faith to help her navigate one of life's darkest seasons. Instead, she said she encountered misunderstanding and blame-shifting, starting with church leadership. In church counseling sessions, Labou and her then-husband met with the senior pastor and the pastor's husband to protect her family's dignity. Labou says she initially withheld details of her husband's years-long emotional abuse, only to have the pastor privately blame Labou for the faltering marriage. A troubling pattern. Only after Labou described years of her husband's misconduct, explosive angry tirades and property destruction that sometimes required police intervention and caused her to live in fear, did the pastor acknowledge that conventional mentoring would not solve the problem. Labou called the pastor's conclusion, "None of what I was going to suggest is going to work in your situation," yet Labou says the church never adjusted its response to her. The Black Church has long upheld marriage as a sacred covenant, even as many congregations minister to communities where divorce is an everyday reality. For many Christians involved in their churches, divorce marks not only the end of a marriage, but also the beginning of another painful separation from the faith community they expected would carry them through the valley. Interviews with several divorced church members, therapists, and ministry leaders reveal a troubling pattern. The same congregations that excel at weddings, marriage conferences, and preaching the covenant struggle to respond when marriages collapse. Patriarchal tradition. Well, like the experience Labou described, some church leaders and congregants unintentionally shame the divorced. Sometimes they side with one of the exes. Given the patriarchal nature of the church, it's usually the husband. Still, other churches do nothing as one former spouse, often the ex-wife, disappears from the pews while the other remains. That dynamic has prompted a growing body of research asking whether churches have devoted as much attention to helping members heal after divorce as they have to preparing couples for marriage. While studies have found that Black Christian couples often rely on shared faith and prayer to sustain their marriages, pastoral scholars say divorced women frequently described feeling isolated, overlooked, or quietly stigmatized in congregations where marriage remains the spiritual ideal. Researchers have argued then that separated and divorced church members can be subtly devalued in religious settings, discouraging them from fully participating in congregational life and prompting calls for ministries that offer the same grace after divorce that churches extend before the wedding. Whether divorced members experience compassion or condemnation often depends less on theology than on local church culture, leadership maturity, and whose story gets believed first, what often results in a faith crisis that worsens the emotional pain that accompanies divorce. In Labou's case, after her marriage fell apart, a writing ministry she had developed by request was indefinitely postponed. Church leadership questioned whether her troubled marriage made her unfit to lead. Meanwhile, Labou says her husband continued to lead lay worship and direct the senior choir. How could I be removed from teaching a writing class while the person creating the chaos at home remained in front of the congregation every week, she says. The church has to know when a situation is beyond Bible study. If leaders aren't equipped to help, they have a responsibility to refer people to someone who is. Looking back, Labou believes many churches aren't prepared for the modern, emotionally challenging, complex issues when a marriage hits serious turbulence. Some answers, she says, can't easily be found in Scripture alone. The church has to know when a situation is beyond Bible study, Labou says. If leaders aren't equipped to help, they have a responsibility to refer people to someone who is. Then there's the patriarchy that's often embedded in church culture. LeBou believes too many divorced women quietly disappear while the systems that failed them and turn a blind eye to men's abuses remain unchanged. For T.J. Gibson Ellis, the pain came less from criticism than invisibility. As a young wife, Ellis attended church alone, usually because her husband, who served in the military, worked unpredictable schedules, or sometimes simply chose not to attend. Yet church leaders routinely kept him in mind, not her. "How's your husband?" she recalls them asking her. "Tell him we asked about him." "Few asked about her," Ellis says. "I found the church more interested in where my then husband was instead of ministering to my needs as a very present member," Ellis said. Marva Jones, a veteran couples counselor and family therapist, believes many of the painful endings between couples in their church begin long before the pair reach the altar. "I think the initial change we need to make is what we do before people get married," said Jones, founder and president of Tree of Life Counseling and Training Center in Ohio. She worries some churches unintentionally nudge dating couples toward the altar before an honest exploration of challenges that stress a marriage, finances, trauma histories, parenting philosophies, conflict resolution, and family dynamics. "I think there needs to be more work up front," she said. Jones, author of The Dance, The Power of the Father, Parenting Through Divorce and Separation, Don't Let Your Children Become Collateral Damage, rejects the rigid 6 or 8 week premarital counseling session churches frequently mandate. She argues that every couple has unique histories that require individualized preparations. Jones also believes churches must create ministries specifically for divorced members rather than folding them into general single ministries. "People divorced with children is a different group than people who are divorced without children," she says. "They're trying to heal, but they're seeing their children every day and they still have to interact with this person." Equally important, Jones says, churches should recognize divorce as the death of a once-promised relationship, triggering emotions similar to bereavement. Both exes need that grief group to be able to process the hurt, anger, and sadness, she said. They were planning their hopes and dreams together. Something happened that shattered the dream. Too often, Jones says, churches emphasize that God hates divorce, but they don't adequately confront the abuse, violence, infidelity, or the control that may have triggered it. Church leaders don't want to hear about a husband or wife being violent at home because it's hard to reconcile abuse with a member who's active, involved, and faithful, Jones says. People can be whatever they want to be in church and something completely different at home. Not every story ends in rejection. She also believes women frequently bear a disproportionate share of judgment in a divorce. You will see that being implemented more with women in ministry than men, Jones says. When her marriage to a pastor ended, Roxanne Freeman said members of her denomination rallied around her after they gradually recognized what had happened behind closed doors. "They always supported me," Freeman says, "but I don't think after a while they supported him." Still, she acknowledged that her experience was unusual. "I've seen other people leave the church," she says. "They embrace the people who they like, and the other one kind of flees because we don't want to have to deal with these people anymore." She also described a congregation in which a cheating husband remained in the church until the congregation held him accountable. Once that happened, his former wife eventually flourished in ministry. Along with managing marital expectations up front, Jones believes churches can do a better job changing church norms around divorced couples. Her recommendation ranged from individualized premarital counseling and referral partnerships with licensed therapists to grief support groups and ministries tailored to divorced parents. Ultimately, though, she believes congregations must be willing to love divorced people through brokenness instead of treating the end of their marriage as a permanent spiritual scar. "That's our responsibility," she says, "to love." Next up from the Challenger, Harvest House Buffalo launches their 4th annual baby shower drive to support Buffalo children living in poverty. Harvest House Buffalo has launched its 4th annual baby shower drive, a community-wide campaign to provide diapers, clothing, hygiene products, portable cribs, car seats, and other essential items for children living in poverty across Buffalo. Running from September through October, the drive comes as many working families face rising living costs and increasing prices for basic baby necessities. Harvest House expects to serve approximately 800 children each month, reaching nearly 10,000 children during the coming year through its family support programs. According to Harvest House, more than 65,000 children in the Buffalo area live in poverty, including approximately 30,000 children living in extreme poverty, defined as 50% of the federal poverty level. More than half of those children live on Buffalo's east side. The organization estimates that every donated dollar can generate up to $11 in community impact by helping families avoid financial crisis, improving child health, and reducing reliance on emergency services. A gift of $100 can provide approximately 2 months of diapers for one family. The organization is especially seeking donations of the following items: diapers, particularly newborn in sizes 4 through 6, baby wipes and hygiene products, gently used children's clothing, newborn through size 14, new socks and underwear, portable cribs, car seats less than 2 years old. Contact Joe Soma, chairperson, Harvest House Baby Shower Drive. For more info, the number 716-207-2346. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you download our free app from your Apple or your Android Play Stores. It's easy to use. You can listen live with the touch of a button or access all of your favorite podcasts as well. Next from the Challenger, the real estate page, Baby Boomers, What's Your Next Move? For many baby boomers, home ownership has long symbolized stability, success, and the American dream. After decades of raising families, maintaining properties, and building memories, many are now asking a different question: what's next? This article written by Tamika Murphy from the MMB Realty Group. Across Western New York and beyond, baby boomers are rethinking what homes means in this next chapter of life. While many still cherish the homes where they raised their children, the reality is that maintaining a large property can become physically, emotionally, and financially demanding. Weekend chores that once felt manageable, mowing the lawn, shoveling snow, cleaning gutters, or climbing ladders for repairs, can become overwhelming over time. At the same time, many boomers have gained significant equity in their homes. Rather than viewing their houses as simply a place to live, they're recognizing it as one of their greatest financial assets. This shift has led many homeowners to consider how their real estate can help create generational wealth for their children and grandchildren. One growing trend is right-sizing. Unlike downsizing, right-sizing isn't about settling for less. It's about choosing a home that better fits your current lifestyle. Some homeowners are moving into smaller, low-maintenance homes or condominiums that eliminate exterior upkeep while still providing comfort and convenience. Others are choosing ranch-style homes for first-floor living, making it easier to age in place safely. Health and safety also plays a major role in these decisions. Multi-story homes with steep staircases, large yards requiring constant maintenance, and aging mechanical systems can present challenges as homeowners get older. Moving before these concerns become emergencies allows families to make thoughtful decisions rather than rushed ones. Some baby boomers are choosing to stay put by investing in home upgrades such as walk-in showers, wider doorways, improved lighting, and accessibility features that allow them to remain safely in the homes they love. Others are moving closer to children and grandchildren, while some are embracing active adult communities that offer social opportunities and maintenance-free living. Another option gaining popularity is selling a larger home and using a portion of the proceeds to purchase a smaller residence while investing the remaining equity. This strategy can strengthen retirement savings, reduce monthly expenses, or provide financial assistance to the next generation for college, homeownership, or other life milestones. There is no one-size-fits-all answer. One thing I like to remind the readers is that every homeowner's goals finances, and family situations are different. The important thing is to begin planning early and understand the options available before a major life event forces a quick decision. Whether your goal is to make your lifestyle simple, creating a lasting financial legacy, or finding a home that better supports your future, now is an excellent time to start the conversation with not only your family, but a financial team. After all, the next move isn't just about buying or selling a house. It's about creating legacy and generational wealth. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the August 19th issue of the Challenger Community News. We read from the Challenger Community News every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. Your reader has been Chuck Stevens. Thank you for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have a reading of the Batavia Daily News. Following that at 10 o'clock is the East Aurora Advertiser, and 11 we have the Niagara Gazette. Stay with us for these readings and more throughout the day. The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is Paul, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the August 20th, 2026 issue of the Batavia Daily News on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The first article, Explosion Leads to Weapons Charges. Investigators say Medina man's hand was blown off. Medina. What began as a report of a man who blew his hand off with a firework has turned into criminal charges.